Let you remain seated. I'm going to read a good many verses here. John chapter 1, verse number 35. We're going to close out the chapter tonight. It says in verse number 35, "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where they dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When the disciples beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth in the Galilee and findeth Philip and saith to him, Follow me. Now Philip in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael saith to him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith to him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith to him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered unto him, Before that Philip calleth thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee in the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, I pray you help us tonight in the service. Lord, I pray you give me the words to say. Lord, help this church here. Lord, I pray you guide our hearts and guide our mind. Lord, I pray you help us tonight in the service. Help us put our attention to be on your word and what you have for us here. In Jesus' name, amen. We took a look at John this morning, John the Baptist's testimony, what he did and what he has to say about Christ. And we're not going to preach all that again. I already preached that to you. What his person was, his purpose, his perspective, his people, what they were focused on, all focused on Jesus Christ. We start a little bit into the section here this morning. We looked at the verse 35 to 37. We saw the focus of his people. Tonight we're going to try to close out this chapter. In every passage of Scripture, you can find three things. If you take a look at the passage of Scripture, you okay tonight? Everybody, all right? All right. All right. Make sure everybody's together with us. Everybody's distracted tonight. I understand. Brother John said he watched too much news, so he's thinking about that and worried about that. I'm just picking on you, Brother John. He's an easy target. So. Tonight we're going to try to close out this passage. In every passage of Scripture, you can find three different things. If you look for it in the Scripture, you can find, of course, the literal interpretation of the passage, obviously. You see what he's talking about here in this passage. You can see the practical application in the passage of Scripture. And you also find the prophetic implication. In every passage of Scripture, you can study your Bible and you can find those things. In the passage tonight, I'll look at a couple of those. The literal interpretation is pretty simple here. Jesus needed disciples. And Luke, it says he went apart into a mountain to pray, and then he came and found his disciples, called them. It's pretty simple. He found Jews. They were ready and willing to be used of God, believed him, and he used them. Were they all right? No. Look at Judas. Look at what he ended up doing. They were not all right, but these are the ones God chose to be his disciples. He called them out. The practical application here is one we have seen over and over again in the past few weeks. Leading up to Christmas, what did we look at? The characters of Christmas. We saw, of course, Mary and Joseph and Jesus. We also saw Anna. We saw the shepherds and all those different ones there. What is a common theme among those folks? They met Jesus, and they went out and told others about him. We have seen here with John the Baptist. He heard of Jesus. He was told of Jesus when God did that for him. He spread the news abroad. He prophesied. He preached. And then he met Jesus, and he shouted that he was the Lamb of God. He'd take away the sin of the world, and now he pointed people towards Jesus Christ. That was his ministry. All through the Old Testament, you'll find the folks that found Jesus, the New Testament, the folks that found Jesus and truly were born again, they met him, and their hearts were changed. They left out telling others about him. As soon as Jesus moved in, they told others that all they could who he was and about him. You see that over and over again in the Scripture. It's a pattern. People meet Jesus, and they have to go tell somebody else about him. We're going to see that same thing here in this passage tonight. Men that met Jesus and went and told others about Jesus. If we're going to truly be a New Testament local church, we're going to have to do the same thing and follow this pattern. Make disciples and then be disciples and go make more disciples by disciples. Disciples making disciples, if I can get my tongue to work tonight. You spread the gospel and you see folks saved and you continue to do so. God saves them. He does that. Then they go out and they do the same thing and they spread the gospel and they see folks saved by the grace of God. And you both repeat people to Christ at the same time. That's the pattern we have in the scriptures. That's the pattern Jesus set forth and told us to accomplish there at the end of the gospels. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. That's our job. Tonight we're going to look at a little bit of that. This example we're giving in scriptures, and I know there's a lot of deep things you can get in here in this chapter. We're going to keep it simple here tonight because I'm simple. And I think that's the best way to stay. So, I'm going to preach just for a few minutes tonight on this thought, disciples making disciples. Now, I understand that all these men are Jews here, and we, of course, are not going to go, we're, of course, not only going to go to the Jews. We don't know if we have any Jews here or not. Like I said, this is a practical application of this passage, disciples making disciples. But when I point something out here tonight, and I want you to grasp a hold of it, and it's something you already know, but I believe it's very important for us to understand. We know that everyone is saved the same way. We understand that. If you're saved, then you got saved the same way I did. We're all saved the same way. I know that'd be true because there is only one way. The Bible tells us. And I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We understand that he's the only way to get saved. Okay, but folks hear about Christ, and God uses different means of reaching different people at different times. Let me explain. Someone here in town, because of history, because of their personality, you may not be able to reach them. Something happened. They are holding a grudge. Or maybe nothing like that at all. Maybe it's just a personality problem. Personalities don't blend together, and they're not going to react to you. They're going to react wrongly to you. You can try all you want, and they're going to resist or reject everything you have to say. However, somebody else comes along, and they're a little different than you. Personality is a little different. They can mesh, and they can reach that person you would not be able to reach. I think we all understand what we mean here. I believe God has someone for each of us to reach. I'm not able to reach all of them. They may hate my guts, but they might listen to you. There's a lot of people like that, and vice versa. God uses different means of different people to reach different people to save them the same way. We all get saved the same way, but getting to that point is different for different people. And we're going to see an example of that here in this passage. We'll start to see why it's important for us to understand what's going on here. I'll look at some of these examples tonight. Number one, some come because of the preacher. Verse 35, and again the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. These two disciples here as well begin to see are Andrew and John, I believe. We know it's Andrew. It tells us here in the next few verses, John is never named here, never named in the Gospel of John. But through the study and through his writing style and through the details we find out about this disciple, we believe he is John the Apostle. We see that in the pastor's scripture. The same one that wrote this Gospel, John. The same wrote the three epistles, John. The same wrote the book of Revelation. These two men, as we've already saw this morning, John the Baptist points them to Christ. For the second time now in 2 days, he declares, behold, the Lamb of God. The first time is an introduction. This time it's an instruction. He says to these men, behold, the Lamb of God. And they took off following after Jesus. We already talked about that this morning. Why do they do that? Because of the influence and the preaching of their preacher, the prophet. Some will be reached and they'll learn of Jesus and follow after Jesus because of the preaching of God's word. Does that make me special? Absolutely not. It makes me responsible for a lot, and that scares me to death, to be honest with you. I have to make sure I say the right things at the right time, what God would have me to say, and keep my mouth shut when he tells me to keep my mouth shut. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. But God would use preaching to reach some folks. If he wouldn't, then why are we here? What's the point? That's the entire point of gathering together so God can send a message to his people, provided that I'm obedient. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God chose to use preaching. God used the preaching of John the Baptist to reach these two men. And then in turn, these two men took off following after Christ. Preaching is not a waste of time. Some may not listen to anything else, but for some reason, no other reason than the working of the Holy Spirit, they will listen to the foolishness of preaching, and they will believe and accept Christ as their personal Savior. That's the point. That's why we're here. Not only that, they will grow. I believe Andrew and John were already believers here. They'd be following Christ. I believe they got saved through the preaching of John. I don't think they got saved at this moment. I think they were already saved at this moment in John chapter 1, verse 35. But their allegiance changed. Their heart turned to Christ only. They followed after him. God will use preaching to change the hearts and allegiance of people through the foolishness of preaching. Again, I'm not trying to push myself up because I'm nothing to explain the importance of preaching. That's why I don't like calling off church. That's why I feel so important about why I make sure I have the right person in the pulpit at the right time. I believe it's important. God uses preaching. Some come because of the preaching. Some come because of family. Look at verse 38. And Jesus turned and saw them following, saying to them, "What seek ye?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to be interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And they met Jesus, and they want to know where he is at so they could come back. Verse 39, he saith to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saying, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. You see, John and Andrew taking off, following Jesus. They want to know where he lives. Why? So they can come back and see him again. They want to know where he's at. What happened? John and Andrew went and spent the rest of the day with Jesus. Can you imagine abiding in the house with Jesus for the rest of the day? In Jesus in the flesh. What happened after that? Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon. He got to meet Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one. He said, "You know what I need to do? I've got to go tell my brother about who I found. My brother's out there fishing. Let me go get my brother." He's got to meet Jesus. What happened? Andrew went and told Simon who they found. He brought him to Jesus. I don't think he picked him up and dragged him, but it does say he brought him. The Bible says we are to compel them. Luke 14, 23. The Lord said to him, "His servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled." He said, "I got to get my brother." He went and got his brother, Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. Andrew met Jesus, and he immediately got a burden for his brother. He says, "I can't meet Jesus and know Jesus and not tell my own family." First, he's got to hear it too. What happened? Simon came. He was changed by Jesus Christ. His life was changed. His name was changed. Jesus changed his name. I wonder why wasn't Peter following John the Baptist? Just some of my own thoughts here. Was he just too busy? Or was he just not there that day? Or was he not interested? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. Had Andrew not told him before? I don't know. One thing I do know, he listened to Andrew and he came. Andrew brought him and his name was changed. And Peter's going to go down in the history as one of the most influential, next to Paul, preachers in the New Testament. Who reached him first? His brother brought him to Jesus. Can I encourage you, church? I don't know all your family situations. Can I just encourage you tonight? Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your brother. You keep on praying. You keep on inviting them. You keep on telling them. You say, "Well, they won't listen to me." Maybe not. Maybe not the first time. You just keep on going back. Maybe they don't want to listen. Just keep on going back. Don't miss your chance. Give them the gospel. Go tell them about how you met Jesus, what he has done for you, and who he is. He's the Messiah. Tell them about Jesus. Don't miss out on your family. Don't give up on your family. Some come because of family. Peter did. Some come only because of the Holy Spirit calling. It's interesting. Verse 33, they following Jesus would go forth in the Galilee, find Philip, say to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Now, don't try to debate me here. I understand if it weren't for Christ and if it weren't for the Holy Spirit, none of us would come to him. I understand that. John 6, 44. No man come to me except the Father which hath sent him, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I understand that, of course. If we're not for the wooing of the Holy Spirit unto himself, salvation, conviction and salvation would not happen. Here's what I mean by this point. Jesus goes and he finds him, he himself findeth Philip. And we're not giving any more details here in this book. He just goes to Philip. He says, "Follow me." And apparently, Philip did follow him. We find out in the next verse, he's still there. Some folks, because of their location, because of their circumstances, don't have family, they don't have preacher. I don't know. Maybe they don't have someone to tell them. I still believe the Holy Spirit works. And I believe in God. I believe his word will work. I hope it's okay to say this. Ms. Gloria, I don't want to embarrass you. I hope that's okay. We'll find out here in a minute. She told me about how she got saved. Now, that came from a Bible that was given to them. They sat on a coffee table for 6 months or somewhere around that time, a long time. Got there at Christmas time, read the Word of God, and got saved because of the Word of God. The Word of God works. Was there a preacher there? No. There was a Word of God, and there was a Holy Spirit working. What happened? Did the preacher come? No. Did the family come? No. The Holy Ghost and the Word of God still work. I've got a book back there in my office. It's called "The Bible Makes Us Baptist." I make a lot of people mad, but it's about a little girl finding a Bible during the days of Reformation. The Baptists were being cruelly murdered, and how she got the truth and read the truth, and her father read the truth, and they hide from the enemies there, which being the Catholic Church and different Protestant churches, they would hide from them in the haystack to read their Bible and finding the truth and becoming Baptist because of it, through the Word of God and only the Word of God. What happened? The Word of God still works. This book we hold dear, there's a reason we hold it so dear. It's not just a book. It's not just a bunch of pages. It's the very Word of God, and it's alive and well, and it still works. Some will come because of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God. And that's the only thing that got them there. Does that mean that we are to sit at home and do nothing? Of course not. There's a lot more examples otherwise that we get right here. We're commanded to go. We need to get out and get busy about spreading the gospel. But the Word of God still, it'll work every time. It always will work. It's the reason everybody gets saved. Some have a person that brings them to the Word of God first. Some do not. The Word of God still works. Some come because of family and friends. Some come because of friends. Number four, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Immediately Jesus says to Philip, follow me. Two verses down, what happens? Philip is going and finding Nathanael. He finds Jesus finds him. He meets Jesus, and immediately he's off trying to win other people to the Lord, trying to bring them to him. What does he say to him? He says, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael was apparently a religious, very religious Jew. We'll see more of that here in a minute in the rest of this passage. But immediately Philip goes and tells him, he says, hey, Nathanael. I don't know if he said they're not, but the one we've been looking for, the one that's promised in the Old Testament, the one we've been reading about and studying about, he's here. He has come. This promised Son of God has come. I've seen him. I've met him. I'm following him. Come and meet him. Come and see. What does Nathanael say? He's doubtful. He said, well, they won't listen to me. Don't give up on them. Even Nathanael didn't believe at first. Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, the Savior of the world has come and is born in Nazareth. Nathanael says, yeah, right. From Nazareth. Are you serious? No good thing comes from Nazareth. In North Carolina, we make fun of people from South Carolina. Don't tell them I said that. No good thing comes from South Carolina. Nazareth here really does have a reason. Jesus preached in Nazareth, and they wanted to get rid of him. Nazareth's nothing but trouble. We're not for Jesus and his family. But Nathanael doubted. Philip said, come and see. Just come and meet him. Just come and hear the truth. Just listen to the Word of God and just come to church. Just come here. Come and see. Now we see something different here with this man, Nathanael. John is the only one to mention him by that name. He's not mentioned anywhere else by the name of Nathanael. Some believe him to be Bartholomew, another pastor. And I tend to believe the same thing. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But Nathanael here, he's an interesting case. He's religious. He didn't just drop everything and follow. He came doubting. He came because of Philip, and Jesus did more work on him than he did on the others. He was doubtful. He was religious. Full religion. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. It's interesting. Nathanael said to him, whence knowest thou me? He said, there's no guile in me. How do you know who I am? Jesus answered him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Told him his history. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. First off, Jesus says to Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Don't get confused with the word here. Guile does not mean sin. It doesn't mean Nathanael was sinless. We're all sinners. That word guile means a trick or means to bait. It means Nathanael was not a hypocrite. He was an Israelite indeed. He really was an Israelite. He did his best to study and read, and he really did obey by the laws of Israel. He was an Israelite indeed. Nathanael says, whence knowest thou me? The Lord just gave him a compliment. Thou art an Israelite indeed. He gave him a compliment. He says, how do you know who I am? Didn't say thank you. How do you know who I am? He says, before Philip called you, all the way back there, that fig tree, I saw you. That statement there changed his mind. I don't know what all happened at the fig tree, but Jesus saw it and it changed Nathanael's mind. He now calls him Rabbi. Thou art the Son of God. Rabbi meaning master. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the one I've been studying about, reading about, and waiting for. You are the one. He changes his position. He's no longer just a religious Jew. He turned and put his faith in Jesus Christ right then and right there. Thou art the Son of God. The next verse Jesus basically says to him, oh, that convinced you, just that alone convinced you. You haven't seen anything yet. There's a lot more to come. Thou shalt see greater things than these. And you just hold on, Nathanael. There's a lot more where that came from, in other words. Verse 51, Jesus starts something that is going to continue throughout the rest of this book. He says, verily, verily. And we just read over that. It don't mean much to us. That means amen and amen. It's used in the book of Psalms. Jesus uses it here throughout the Gospels. In Matthew, a single verily is used 30 times. In Mark, 14 times. In Luke, it's used 7 times. In this Gospel of John, he's the only one that uses it twice. Verily, verily. It's used 25 times. It's used as an emphasis to about something is about to be said. Emphasis put on Christ and who he is and what he's about to say is truth, and you need to listen. That's what that means. So he says, verily, verily, pay attention. Some truth about to be told. He gives the truth here in this last verse of chapter 1 of John. He's already giving nuggets of truth to his disciples. If Nathaniel just believed him, he's already given more truth. Verse 51. He saith, and verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What is he talking about here? I'm not going to get too far into it tonight. I know we're all tired. He's talking about Jacob's ladder there in Genesis. Remember, Nathaniel's a religious Jew, an Israelite indeed. He knows the book of Genesis. He knows all about Jacob. He knows Jacob's dream there. He knows what's going on. He knows the prophecy of Jesus. Jesus just plainly points out Nathaniel, oh yeah, that ladder you read about, that's me. That's who I am. That's what I've come to do. I am him. I'm the link between man and heaven. I'm the key. I'm the missing ladder. I'm the intercessor. He's our way to get to heaven. He's all through him. We talked about that this morning. I'm the link. I'm the one the angels go back and forth on. I'm the ladder. Notice he says ascend and descend. That's the backwards way we would normally think. We think angels come down out of heaven and then go back into heaven. That's not what this says. It says they ascend into heaven and descend back to earth. I believe it means they are stationed here and they go up to report to heaven, get instructions, and come back and carry forth instructions. Why are they here? The Lord put them here. Why? For our benefit. To fight for us and to protect us. The angels unawares. To fight those principalities and powers that we know not of. For me and for you. Jesus points out to this new religious convert, he says, I'm the key, I'm the answer, I'm the one you've been looking for, I'm the one to answer all these questions you have, a prophecy. He's the link. He's our Lamb of God. He's the answer. He's the one that the dove could rest on this morning. He's the ladder in Jacob's dream. It's him, all about him. What's the point then? What's my point tonight? I feel like I've rambled on for a while now. The point is this, disciples making disciples. Whether religious, whether they're lost, whether they're out fishing, I don't know what they're doing. Disciples making disciples. The point is this, you have someone out there, I believe, that you can reach. Maybe you can reach them and I can't. Maybe I can reach them, you can. I better get busy too. You say, well, not me, preacher, it's not for me. I'm too embarrassed. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Now shall they hear without a preacher? Church, we better go. We see the pattern over and over again in these passages. We've gone through them over and over again here since before Christmas. I couldn't preach on this passage without seeing this here. There's no way around it. John and Andrew got to go to Jesus' house. Andrew says, I've got to go tell my brother. Some commentaries, they believe that the wording there that John also went and got James. The Bible doesn't mention that because John is possible to never mention himself. But he went and got James as well. Then you see Peter coming to Christ. We know the impact he made. It came because of his brother. You see Jesus himself going and calling Philip. And then Philip pointing Nathanael to Christ. And Christ giving him the truth. We see the pattern over and over again. Well, often, why do we often ignore it? I know giving the gospel is hard. It's not something our flesh enjoys doing. I know our flesh hates it. My flesh hates it. I'm the same way. It's our job. It's our commission. It's our responsibility. It's time to go get busy. Look at our world around us. I'm not going to preach on all those things tonight, and prophecy and different things tonight. But you look what's going on around us. I don't think we have much time left. It's time we get busy about the work of the Lord. Disciples making disciples. Immediately, they met Jesus. Immediately went and found someone they could bring. That's God-given pattern. Are we going to follow? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for the truth from your word, Lord, and what we can learn from it. Lord, I pray you help us take it and apply it to our lives. And I pray us to go out and reach somebody for you. In Jesus' name, amen.